This episode is brought to you by 3Chi. 3Chi, it rhymes, is the industry leader in Delta-8 THC products. Delta-8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. Go to 3Chi.com, the number 3CHI.com, to shop for Delta-8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S-21, at checkout and receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stackade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
This just in. We got some shows to announce.
If you can make a better noise than this one, then do it right now and give yourself, we'll give you 2 seconds to hit your own beep beep beeps.
I will be in Fort Wayne, Indiana, June 4th, one night only. I don't even know what night of the week it is. That's either a Friday or Saturday, but it's June 4th. One show right now. If we sell enough, we'll go to 2 shows. Sean, you got a show coming up.
June 4th is a Friday, Todd, and I will be in Des Moines, Iowa at the Funny Bone on June 18th and 19th. Des Moines, if you're within a five-hour drive, it's a no-brainer. Get there. If you got an SUV, bring a generator. Sleep in it. Amazon sells mattresses for cars. Let's go.
Let's go. Road trip that shit.
It's summer, man. It's spring. It's time to go out there, do some shit. Let's go. We're going to be hanging out telling jokes.
There's nothing better than sleeping in your car.
Oh man,
I love it. I did it one night. The electricity was out at the house just so I could watch Netflix on my phone.
Hey, worth it.
Keep it charged. It was the only way to charge my phone. It was the only device I had, the only means I had for watching anything. So I just sat in the driver's seat of the truck, put the seat back, watched Netflix for about 4 hours, fell asleep. In the morning, power was back on.
Hey, I slept in my car all the way when I moved from LA to Indy. Nice. I'm not going to buy a hotel. I have a Prius. You just lock the doors. You leave the AC running, bro.
Park at a Walmart.
That's it. Or a road, you know, just I would just pop off for a few hours, hop back on. When I was tired, I'd pull over, hop back on. I would never spend my hard-earned money on a be a man, sleep in the car.
Road trip. It's called this, road trip.
This episode is brought to you by sleepinyourcar.com. Not really. I'm just juiced up. I'm feeling comfortably numb right now. My 3Chi's, sipping a Pacifico out of the can.
Nice. I got a Yingling going on. My last one.
Ooh, that's the best one. Tastes so good. Because you know, after that, that's a wrap. You have to run an errand.
That's a wrap.
You know, you got to be running errands. You don't want to run an errand, Todd. You got other errands to run. I walk most of my errands. I'm not going to lie.
Can you ever go to the liquor store and just buy exactly what you need?
No, I always stock up. Well, it depends on where I am in my life. But I, for the last handful of years, I've gone in there and I've always been like, I better get a bottle of vodka too, just in case.
I'll walk through and I'll go, man, do I have margarita mix? And then I'll buy it and then I'll get home and I'll have 2 full bottles of margarita mix in the refrigerator. Already.
But, you know, here's the deal. You drink a lot of margaritas at your house, Todd.
I do.
You know,
summertime. It's marg season.
It's marg season. You know, you're going to have a fresh blender rocking and rolling just like on what's that movie where Mark Wahlberg plays a porn star?
Oh, Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights. He's sitting there grinding up. How much you bench? When he first goes over, when he first gets to the house and his boy fucking Brock Landers, the future Brock Landers, is behind the bar mixing up the world's best margies and he look absolutely horrendous.
John C. Reilly.
Yeah. I don't know any actors' names.
John C. Reilly is my favorite actor.
He's a great actor. I love that guy.
Put him in anything. Comedy, serious movie, doesn't matter. John C. Reilly is the shit.
Yes, he is quite the animal. And so are you, Todd. You're a goddamn animal.
I am an animal. John C. Reilly from Step Brothers. We make our own beef jerky.
I don't know how they thought that movie up, but what a bunch of fucking geniuses. It just makes me want to film funny shit that's not like face, you know, not the camera, you know, like, you know, maybe become an internet actor, Todd. Maybe we could become internet actors.
Just ad lib the whole fucking thing.
Well, we'll have a loose script, but we have to leave ourselves room to just bullshit and make up some stuff like they do in Curb, you know, Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's a loose script. They know where they got to get. And they just find their way there. They don't need some dude writing every word for them.
That's why I thought the most fun show to work on, other than The Office, would have been Reno 911. Like they,
and why is that?
Ad lib the fuck out of it. They go in there with the loose bullet outline. This is the scene. This is what's going on, and they just fucking pretty much make up the dialogue as they go.
I love that. I love it. That's what I want to do. Maybe we'll do that in Indy next week when I'm there hanging out. Maybe we'll just try to make up some. We'll pick a topic at the bar, at your bar, and just run with it. Just like we do in this podcast, Todd.
Yeah. Just make up. I love when we have guests and they don't really know that we do that a lot. Like we, BT, last Tuesday, we caught him in a moment there. I forget what we were talking about. But, I was talking about the fact that we can train dragons now.
So
that's why we can do Game of Thrones movies or TV shows. And he was like, what? Wait. What are you talking about?
Wait, there's dragons?
He's like, oh, I get it.
You just say it serious enough and people will buy in.
Mm-hmm.
I do all the time. My lady has to slap me in the arm all the time because I'll say some, like, I'll just say some shit. I almost snapped her at the, I was at one of the, see, in New Jersey, they tax every single thing. So you can't even have a gas station off the freeway in this state. They have their own, like, big sections you have to pull off on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a Burger King in there, and I pull up, and I go walk into Burger King. It was after we got back from Vegas. I hadn't ate all day, and I was like, I need to fucking eat Burger King. I don't care. I'll bust out some chicken fries. And there's just a dude, the two cooks are sitting on crates with their phones out. And I'm like, yo, get anybody at the counter here, my man? Because there's nobody at the counter. He's like, you got to order at the kiosk. At the kiosk, we got a problem unfolding. We got a family trying to punch their order in. They gave up at the very end after going through the whole thing. Then somebody else goes up, and every time they hit finish, it wouldn't let them pay, bro. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here, dude? So I go over, hey, my man, and the other three kiosks were out of order signs on them. I was like, none of these kiosks work. I mean, I got a little bit loud from the back. Yeah. I'm like, none of the kiosks work, bro. And then just when I said that, a girl got it to work. And I'm like, yeah, well, fuck off. It's working slow. It working slow.
What are they fucking, is that a policy now? They're not allowed to work at the fucking register? Aren't trained in the POS system? No, we're only on patties, bro.
Now, listen, we know what's happening. The machines are taking over. And that's that. Burger King don't give up. They'll tell the dummies out there ordering the cheeseburgers, hey, you know what? Go pretend you work here. There's four kiosks. Have at it, pal. Mm. Now I'm looking for the fucking extra sauce button. You know, it's just, come on, man. Just put somebody back there at minimum wage to punch my stuff in, please.
Can we just get back to fucking normal? Do we have to have fucking automated everything? Because now you're going to blame the order being wrong on me. And we know that's not the case.
I walked into a patio bar this week with my lady. 10th Ave Burrito. Over in Bradley Beach, or maybe, is that Belmar? It might be Belmar. I get them. Yeah, Belmar's north, Bradley south. No, that's the other way around. Either way, I walk in. Me and my lady, the only one with the mask on. People are partying, bro. It looked like a bar in 2019. I had to fucking do the old, excuse me, pardon me, to get up to the bar to order a cocktail.
Wow, I haven't had to do that in a while.
I was like, wow, this is kind of weird. I feel like I'm on a time machine. I have not walked into a packed bar with no masks. And you could tell who had just walked in because the only people that be with a mask on were people that just walked in.
Yeah.
We're all vaxxed up over here. So, but, you know, you're all vaxxed up.
Vaxxed up.
Are you double vaxxed yet?
Well, March 17th. I don't know when this comes out, the exact date, but soon.
You mean May 17th?
I mean, May 17th. Sorry.
Okay.
So it will be, next Monday.
Yeah, we're recording a little early. You're going to New Orleans, Todd. What you got going on down there?
I gotta go there and solve a murder.
Just going down and solve a quick murder?
Yeah, just going down with some folks, try to solve a murder. You know, you know how we do in the off time.
Yeah. So this is, this episode is the Thursday, the 13th episode, May 13th.
Yeah. So and, by the 17th, I'll have the second vax. Why? You got to wait 10 days. And then
that's tax day, baby. By the way, I did my taxes.
I did not yet.
Oh, bro, I'm pumped. I'm ready to go fucking do the last 2 years, see what happens.
Oh, there's no chance in hell I get a refund. I am too far behind in my taxes to even think about a refund. They're going to want to fucking come. Yeah, I'm going to have to do slave labor for the government or something. I'm going to have to go pick up trash on the side of the freeway or something.
Hey, I heard a lot of wallets are out there. People's wallets fall out their car or whatever.
That'd be nice.
Pick up a few wallets, a couple hundred in cash. Not a big deal. You know what I mean? Nice little day's labor.
That'd be nice. Donnie Baker has a joke about the stretch of I-70 by Terre Haute, Indiana, because there's a Supermax prison there.
Yeah.
And then on the interstate, there's a bunch of signs that says, warning, do not pick up hitchhikers in this area. And he's like, hitchhikers? I'm more worried about the escaped prisoners.
That's the way. You know what? Well, this kid, I don't think he does stand up anymore. He was doing well for a while. Then he had some family issues. Moved to California. He's doing well. And some more family issues, a little rehab thing. Either way, he was a great writer, right? Mm-hmm. And he had this bit. He used to go, I live in a gated community. So if you want to rob me, you're going to have to wait for somebody to leave. It was always so dumb, but I always laughed at it. So hard, bro.
It's so true. I almost moved into a gated community. And then I thought, man, it's kind of a pain in the ass because Bailey, my son, lived in one for a while. And it was apartments, but really, really nice ones. And you had to punch a code to get in and out. And it just seemed like kind of a pain in the ass. I don't know if that's once you live there, if you just become second nature or whatever. But I don't know. I just like to go. I don't want to have to stop, wait behind two or three, four cars to get in and out. You know?
It's like, come on, guy. Just open the fucking gate.
Yeah. And if somebody want to come in there and do some shit, they can just walk from the road.
Yeah. Just jump the gate.
You literally only have a gate here.
It's going to be tough to get all the stuff you steal out. But I guess not if you drive. You know, you got to get your car in there either way. You're just going to have to wait it out. You're just going to have to put, you know, another move is you wait for someone to punch in the code and then you just kind of crawl in right behind them, you know, real nice and close.
Yeah. It probably does cut down on maybe the car break-ins, maybe if you're in an apartment complex somewhat. I don't know. But maybe I would enjoy it. Maybe I would feel a little safer. But I feel pretty fucking safe in my neighborhood right now.
It's a safe neighborhood. Your neighborhood's nice, bro. You don't even know it's back there, really. People are doing 50 to 100 miles an hour on that main street. No one's bopping left into your shit to see what's cracking.
No. I mean, you can hear the gunshots from near, like, where the fairgrounds are and stuff. But you can tell it's at a distance. Mm-hmm. By the way, people are rattling off rounds every fucking night.
Really?
In Indianapolis. Every night.
A hot town,
I'm outside,
bro.
Hanging out at night. Every night. Sometime between, like, right around midnight, you'll hear.
Semi-auto?
Semi-auto and fully auto. And I'm like, why? Why are there so many fully automatic weapons out in Indianapolis right now?
Let's see how many murders were in Indy so far this year. Indianapolis crime statistics. The homicides for 2021. Just give me the fucking total, bro. Number.
Versus the amount of shootings. We have bad shooters here, which is weird because of Indiana being such a pro gun state.
It gets foggy. You know, it's hard to shoot. It's hard to shoot the one-offs.
If you were to go out in the country, there's way less shootings, but they hit what they're shooting at. You go into the inner city, just a lot of wasted ammo.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of prey and spray.
You know, it's a lot more of just like, hey, I'm popping off rounds, you know. As of April 19th, the city of Indianapolis has 67 criminal homicides, up to 42 at the same time in 2020. Up 42 at the same time in 2020.
All right.
The fools are getting lit up. Don't forget, obviously there was a large one with the guy at FedEx with the 8. But still, you're at 6. You're up. Well, obviously, last year don't count. Motherfuckers couldn't get out and shoot in the streets, you know.
Yeah.
What about 19, though? You know, that's what you got. Oh, here we go. No, lap in 2019. It was only at 35 at this point in 2019. You guys are setting records this year, bro. You guys are lapping the last two cities, the last 2 years of murders in that city. How do you feel? I mean, it's got to feel good that you could just race past those numbers.
I mean, we're going up in the rankings nationally. It's good to be up in the rankings. We all lag behind like Gary, Indiana, for some reason. So maybe we'll surpass them this year. Be the number one city in the state in homicides.
I'm looking
nationally.
Well, you know what? Listen, it's going to take a lot of hard work. You know, it's just going to people really having to just buckle down and just get out in these streets and do work.
I don't know why we just don't have bulletproof cars. You know, everything's about cost savings. People will, you know, we worry way less about our safety, our own safety, and the safety of our kids just to save a buck.
Yeah.
You know, because you could, Chris Bowers was talking about this to me on the phone the other day. Like, there's a certain amount of kids that die each year from deaths from dressers tipping over.
Ooh, tough gig.
And the furniture industry was like, we can make dressers that can't tip over, but they're way more expensive than what, and no one will buy them. Like, they've tried and people won't buy them. So you think about,
put an L bracket on the side, bro, with one screw.
I know. All you got to do is L bracket it. You know, like a lot of those entertainment centers and stuff have that piece of fabric in the back, and then you just put a screw into a stud.
Yeah.
And it's tip proof. But no one does that because how much do we really care about our kids? I guess not. I don't know.
I guess so. So they're pulling the drawers open, the whole thing pops over, crash.
Yeah, they go climbing on them, you know, and then poof, falls over and they suffocate on him, which is tragic. I don't really bring everybody down, but it happens. And the fact, it just blows my mind that like every single person doesn't secure, like we just don't think about it. We're just like, not that worried about it. You know, I don't want to have to get out a screw gun, my stud finder, find a stud.
You know, the other thing, even this stud, just take a bolt into the fucking wall, drywall. Listen, if you're out there and you find yourself at a furniture store of any type, selling any type of dressers, maybe pop that question in there. Maybe say, you guys got kids? If you don't see the kids, if they say they got little kids and they buy the dresser, suggest the L bracket. Let's meet them before they go. Hey, you know what? Keep the L brackets, like a little thing of them, right by the dressers.
You got any tip-proof dressers?
I'm looking to tip-proof these things, dude.
You got any dressers that won't kill my kids?
Yeah. Do you have any any dressers that have that don't have homicidal tendencies?
Yeah. You know, when automatic garage doors first came out, kids were getting trapped under there, dying. And so anytime you go to your buddy's garage.
Yeah.
And they got little kids, and you see they've taken – that's when they came out with the electric eyes. Uh-huh. That way if something goes underneath it, it kicks back up. But I know plenty of people that take those off and then electrical tape them together so they're always connected so they don't have that feature anymore. And it's like, okay, this is how much convenience wins over our kids' safety in our own. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think it's funny that we as a species are that way, because we could have fully bulletproof cars.
Yeah.
We could have bulletproof clothing going around right now. But it's so expensive, no one will ever buy it. But isn't it worth just having one bulletproof jacket that you could wear out when you go into certain areas of town?
You know, and also, I mean, we're here. Just drop the price on Teflon. Make it easier to make. You know what I mean? We're in there, dude. We are in there. The east side of Indianapolis, north east side's where shit's popping, bro.
Shit's popping off around Lawrence.
Right? It's off of
Post.
Also, it's off of the inner. Let's see. There's a hot zone. Where the fuck are the streets? Oh, here we go. In the last 12 months, 13 homicides in the border by Keystone Ave and 38th Street and between Baltimore and 27th in that little area.
Yeah, that's like the state fairgrounds area. That's where I hear the gunshots from all the time.
Oh, okay. That's right. Right off Keystone, 38th Street.
38.
Let's go, kid. That's, you know what? I want to buy an apartment complex.
Put it up.
That makes me want. Yeah, put it up right there. Offer bulletproof glass. You know what I mean? Maybe a hole in the middle so you can aim your rifle out and not take shots back. That type of level of, you know, people are worried about their hot tub and, you know, and a den or high ceilings, maybe vaulted ceilings, some sort of a sunlight coming in. No, man, we need bars and we need glass and we have the ability to shoot out without getting shot back.
Mm-hmm. We just put no windows. It's all just brick. It's brick side. Brick siding all the way. No windows.
I'm a big brick guy too. Big brick guy.
I love bricks. I love bricks.
I want a wall in my house where I could push the bricks and then one brick and then it opens and I get to go in there and hang out by myself or whatever and just smack off or whatever you do in your little
secret
hidden
rooms. Little room, little speakeasy room.
Yeah, doors, just in the there. Maybe goes, I'd like some guns on the wall for sure.
I went to candle base, so like in Young Frankenstein, I turn it down and then the wall opens up.
I like
turn
that.
Turn it up and the wall closes.
And I watched one of the last episodes of Breaking Bad, and somebody turns the towel, the little hand towel rack in the bathroom, pulls it out, turns it, the tub pops up.
Really?
Hydraulic tub underneath tunnel out to the yard.
Oh.
It was a beauty. That's like the second or third time I've seen where a tub pops up.
Dude, I had a buddy that used to install safes for a living. Mm-hmm. And he said they would go to so many, like, you know, this dude's a drug dealer, right? Because they'll like live in the hood in this $45,000 house. And then all of a sudden they're putting like a $22,000 secret safe in there that's hidden in the floor or something. And you hit a thing and it pops up. It's like crazy.
Yeah.
And it's long enough that it fits like long guns in it and shit. And all the time I was like, dude, let me know where these houses are. He never would. It's like that.
Yeah, and the code, bro.
Yeah.
Hit us with some combos, man. You got to know some combos, you know? That's wild to be getting a safe like that tossed in the house and underneath hiding and shit, you know?
Yeah, it's like you're spending half as much on the safe as you are your house. You're probably a drug dealer.
Yeah. Or you're really hiding something valuable and you can't move out of the hood or it would throw it off.
Yeah.
My lady got a new car, and we've been riding around, and I think it's nice. I just love the smell of brand new, fresh-ass leather.
It's nice.
It just smells nice. She got that. I'm telling you, the Kia Sorento 2021 SX, top of the line. Chargers everywhere. Sensors everywhere. The display is dope. It feels good in there. Bucket seats all around.
Lifetime free oil changes.
Free bumper to bumper. Dude, I know we discussed this a few episodes ago, but we ride around it again today.
10-year, 100,000-mile warranty.
Yeah, right, powertrain. 10-year, 100,000 powertrain, which covers transmission, engine, and the train of the power that goes from front to back to the differentials or whatever.
Remember when Kia first came out? Like, Kia was the main comedy car. So when you wrote a joke, you always said Kia because it had the hard K sound, which is a good comedy rule. Right? You said the hard K. And then Kia just instantly, people just laugh because it. And now Kias are so badass. Like, how far have they come in the last 10, 12 years where it used to be the number one comedy car to use in a joke?
Yeah, not no more. Them things are sweet, bro.
Yeah, they're sweet.
And we've been just enjoying riding around, having a good time, chilling out, free Sirius XM. And the guy even hit us with this. He sold enough cars last year. He upgraded enough of the Sirius satellite radios. Sirius gave him the hookup. Said, really? Check this out. After 3 months, if you still want it, contact me. I got you for another year.
What? Let's go. I used to still have my Sirius XM login from Barstool Sports, but I think it still works on my phone.
I still have mine. I'm still rolling. I'm still rolling.
I got something left over from that.
Yo, my first show went away. They took it away like the first day. I was like, I emailed them like, Jesus, homie, you just going to jack me like that in fucking 12 seconds after a year and a half? And then he gave me another one. I've been rocking that one ever since. Shit, dude. Yeah, so you'll be in Louisiana this whole week. So next episode, we'll get the full breakdown of what's going on. Of you out there solving murders? Are you going to take a gun? Did you decide?
I still haven't decided. I still haven't packed yet, so I don't know. I couldn't get direct flights. And I am told that if you have layover, it could be a real bitch when you have a gun under the plane in your baggage. They call you over sometimes, want to go through your shit. I don't know if I want to fuck with that. Plus, it's like 80s in the 80s in Louisiana right now, in New Orleans. So I don't know like how well I can hide a gun under my t-shirt. Mm-hmm. So like people are going to see it. It's going to be more of a problem than it's worth having. I don't know.
Yeah,
don't
good know. Point.
Maybe if I can find my ankle gun. But now with the straight leg jeans, you know, with the tight cuff, mm-hmm. the way they make yeah. jeans now, not very conducive for the ankle gun.
Well, you used to be the king of the cuts down there. You mm-hmm. used to cut the edges on the left and the right side of the boot. Mm-hmm. And you were the king of those cuts. I think Bowers did. I think it was a big Indiana thing for a while.
It was. It was only when you wore like the Doc Martin boots a lot. So mm-hmm. if you had a pair of jeans where you wore like the flat sole boot a mm-hmm. lot, around here people cut the little V.
Yeah.
I remember J-Mac used to. Jason McAfee. He used to do that all the time.
Yeah. So, I had a little stint there for a hot minute cutting mine. And then I just gave up. I always give up on fashion. I just need to wear a pair of pants and a t-shirt of some sort, dude, or a shorts and a sleeveless. Like, I don't got time to worry about all that. You know, I have to get dressed up here. You know, we went out on my lady's birthday. You know, I got all dressed up. We had to, you know, I went full yard on them. But that's, you know, I used to dress. I used to have so much dress clothes because on the tour with Gabriel, I dressed up nice as fuck. You know, sport coat, button up every night, long sleeve, button up every night. With some decent boots and nice jeans, you know, looking good, pockets square. Some, you know, when we did Radio City Music Hall, your boy rocked the bow tie both times. That theater is different than walking out in any other theater. I don't know what it was, but that was just like way more magical walking out.
What's Radio City Music Hall?
That's the number one theater it's New York City.
People go, by the way, it costs just to be sitting in seats there.
It costs like $60,000 to rent a place for a night. And then it costs like another, it might be way more. No, it might be $60,000 for production, like $200,000 to rent or some dumb shit like that. It is some wild ass shit. And it's just having the guys that this guy pulls the rope, this guy sweeps, this guy pushes buttons.
Yeah.
It's 60 G's just for production.
Jesus.
Just for those dudes, 60K, bro, robbing people blind.
And you have to pay them no matter what, even if you don't use them.
Yeah, because if you're playing Radio City, it's sold out. You know, we're talking, 5,000 tickets? You know, you got to at least the tickets are going to be, let's see, calculator, 5,000 tickets times, let's say, $100 minimum. I mean, that's a half a mil, but you're only going to keep half because you got to fucking pay the house out, you know, the rest.
Yeah, and they're all union. So I remember, like, Pat always would be like, well, we don't need half of these guys. But I mean, and the ones that you're wanting mm-hmm. me to use, I'm going to replace them with my guys. And they're like, cool, but you still got to pay him. It's union. You should drive him crazy.
No one hates production more than Pat. I thought Gabriel had it because Gabriel bought his own crew. He'd tell him, "Now we're good." You know, they'd still have a load-in crew, but everything else, like sound and all that, we had our own crew. But Pat really does not want to pay people back there to fucking pull ropes, bro.
Yeah. Well, they fuck shit up half the time.
It's yeah.
Like you get that one little rehearsal with them, and then they fuck shit up half the time. The music cues are off, whatever. But even, that's a bitch of it. Even if you have them just sit there and watch, because they got to be there watching your guy. You got to pay them.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck? It's crazy.
How about I pay you to scratch my nuts? How about that?
Just put your cheek right here by this nut sack. Here's your $27 an hour.
That's wild, bro. Good gig, though, those union gigs.
Yeah.
They just keep on paying, bro.
I guess.
I'll tell you what. I've been watching these fights, and I just have this urge. I just want to fight again. I need to do one more. I just want to fight again. I want to be in training. I want to fight. I want to spar. I want to fight.
I can't even imagine getting into shape for that.
It's the worst. When I was in New York, and I had a fight, I fought the troll and knocked him out 50 seconds, whatever. I was in my worst shape, and then I had to go start training, and it was a very – the first week was just brutal, and then I got into it. By the second week, I'm like, all right, I was coming around, and then I started running the full 30 minutes on the treadmill instead of just like walking, running, you know, the back and forth. But I just want to fight again. I want to beat somebody up. It's mostly going to be convincing my lady that I want to do it again.
Yeah. Give it a shot, dude. Give it a shot.
Yeah, we'll see. I got to start. But you know what I got to do? I got to start training now so that when I do actually ever say I want to do it, then if it does, if anybody does agree to it, then I'll be even extra ready. And I don't have to just do that crash course 1 month again and hope for the best like I did last time.
Are you just going to challenge people randomly, or are you going to try to go through rough and rowdy?
I don't know. I have a lot to think about with that part. You know, there's a lot I can do, but it also, you know, you never know, because with the rough and rowdy, you can bring. But I'd have to go full heel. You know, just like, here we go. Fuck it, bro. Like, it's going to happen either way.
Got to ham it up.
But you just never know. You know, I just have the itch. And I want to do it. I just got to do another one.
Well, good for you, bro. I don't mind fighting somebody, but I don't want to get in shape for it. And I know if I don't get in shape for it, I'm going to throw up real fast and not do well. But the training's hard for me, bro. Even when like I wrestled and was really into jiu-jitsu, it doesn't come naturally to me. I would have to train twice as hard as everybody else to have the same stamina. And that was real hard to fucking do. I don't know why. My body not built for endurance.
You know, what are you going to do? Nothing you can do, but you still fought through it. We should go train with Lytle and film it fun when we're there.
It's not fun. I'll just go throw up.
Well, then film it and throw up, bro. The people deserve it. The listeners deserve it. We should be in there. I'll go get beat up.
I was really good at it once. I'm good with it.
I know you got a few years on me, but I'll go get beat up on camera for Lytle. You know, I'll go get in there. They used to always stick me with the rookie dudes coming in, and I'd bust them up here and there, but then I'd get busted up here and there too.
Yeah.
A lot of cops would come in there. They're all friends with Lytle and shit, you know? Yeah, I'd roll with a lot of cops.
Man, that's good. Jiu-jitsu is the best thing for cops. I don't take it.
Yeah, it's mind blowing that it's not even like they should almost make it mandatory. The cops do jiu-jitsu. You see when they go to the ground or anything, it's like fish out of water down there. Not all of them. Obviously, some of them do train. But the majority of cops just do not. Like, when they go to the ground and they got all the gear, then you could tell that like that fear even sets in harder because of all their gear and their gun, everything on them.
Yeah, panic time.
Oh, yeah, dude.
That's where most people panic, is when they get put on the ground. Even like good street fighters, you can see them. You've seen all these backyard brawl things, man. When they get taken down the ground, it's like, they blow their wad because they panic so fast. They just like muscle all they can for like 15 seconds and then they're fucking dead.
That's why I love that I took jiu-jitsu for so long. I mean, look, it's not like I'm going to sit around and tell you I could choke out Jake Shields, you know, because I'm not. I'm going to die and really fast. But the average dude, could we roll? That's a wrap. Yeah. Like whenever I was training and you guys all came in with Pat, when I was training on my own, before I got on the bar with Pat on the Barstool label, I had been training 2 or 3 days a week minimum with Lytle. He was keeping me sane at the time. And then you guys all rolled in there and I got to wrestle with Pat. I got to roll with, I remember putting Diggs in a fucking arm bar about 3 different times, a couple different chokes. And Pat, we wrestled around, you know, I lightly boxed with Diggs, but I was just letting him like hit me in the face to get the feeling. Like, I wasn't really trying to like fight because I would have felt bad because I would have lit him up. Because if you never box and you don't care how strong you think you are right now, but if you're listening and you never box and you step into spar with somebody who boxes, you're going to get worked over. You're going to look like you've never fought a day in your life. It's just how it is. There's no way around it.
Yeah.
You have to be in there taking licks and learning how to get hit and keep going without trying to be the fucking Matrix guy bending all the way back parallel to the ground type shit while you throw a punch.
Yeah. It's like that with any martial art or anything, any combat sport. It's like, if you don't know what you're doing, you can get embarrassed real quickly by someone that shouldn't be able to beat your ass.
I was watching a video. I randomly came across a video and it said, I like to watch street beefs from time to time, which is like, you know, it's like rough and rowdy, but legit as fuck on YouTube. And these got real fighters and they fight for real. They got MMA, they got bare knuckle, and they also have boxing only. But I just randomly stumbled upon this other video where it says bully challenges coach at boxing gym, like some clown off the street who swears he's a street fighting thug comes into this gym and the coach is like, what are you talking? Okay, buddy. Okay, my man, here's your gloves, throws them on and just first shot, pow, right to the belly. Guy is like, huh? Coach is like, you wanted to come in and fuck the coach? You know how stupid that is? Bang! Hook shot to the face. Guy goes down. And he's just teaching this kid a lesson for like 3 minutes. He keeps getting him up, letting him hit him a little bit, moving around. Pow! And then he would just sting him.
I was watching.
And he would just, so beautiful.
I got to get this video from the guy. I had this guy in 1041. He's a prosecutor. He's like 64 now, 63.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, He was the Indiana champion. He never went pro, but as an amateur, he was always, he reigned here for a long time. And he at 60 years old, he has a video of him boxing a cop who's a big old boy who's 34 at the time and who was a good club boxer, I guess. So they were having an exchange one day and he was like, dude, you couldn't, you know, the big guy, the younger guy was like, you couldn't beat me. Like you're like half my size and blah, 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 blah. And he's like,
yeah.
He's like, whatever. So they arrange it. They go to a gym, they get in the ring, they glove up and they have a match. And this dude at 60 years old looked like a fucking Olympic champion compared to this guy. I mean, it was so fucking clean. And like, you know, they always say your power is the last thing to go. He still had so much pop on his fucking punches. You could just see that big dude wince every time he got hit because he still has perfect leverage, positioning and footwork and rotating these hips. And everything's still mechanically very sound, where the other guy, club boxing is different than, you know, real, real legit boxing. So it was so fucking funny to watch. He dropped that dude like 8 times.
That's beautiful.
In like 3.5 minutes. It was beautiful.
Even if I never do it again, at least I got the one shot, you know? Yeah. I don't even think they put that fucking thing. Like, I just don't know. Like, my shit is even on YouTube. Smitty, like, why can't my glorious knockout, which by far, top 5, one of the best knockouts in this rough and rowdy Barstool history. Like, even the people that get, like, they never is that clean and awesome. Like, why don't get, I can't even get a little bit. They don't got shit. They didn't give a fuck, man. They put Marty Mush's stuff up, though. Put on Marty Mush. Fuck. What are you going to do, bro? What are you going to do?
Shit. What are you going to do anything all week since you got a little podcast break? You should take a vacation.
I don't know. Well, my lady's son has graduation coming up and a prom, but they're not doing prom for real.
What? Virtual prom?
No, they just, they like the kid, like my girl's son, they're just dressing up, taking pictures, hanging out with some friends for a little while. I don't even know if they went to dinner. Really? And then they got a house at down at Seaside, and they all just went down there. Oh, they're just parked, hanging out, just drinking, and just they're him and all the groups of friends are all down there just doing their thing.
That's the real thing anyway. That's every prom we had, like the after party was, it was all about the after party.
Yeah.
You go to somebody's house, no parents. Just total fucking bang fest.
You know, my senior year, I went to prom with the girl who won prom queen, but I didn't get the prom king. Her ex-boyfriend, like from the year that she had broke up with her junior year, he was a prom king. And he was a very strong guy. No one ever wanted to fight that guy. And he was also very smooth and good looking. So I was just like, what are you going to do? Right. We were just home and we were just friends. Like it wasn't like a dating thing, but you know, at least I went to school with the prom, you know, I went to prom with the prom queen. The old dap up, high five, had good night move. You know what a gentleman.
Night.
What a goddamn gentleman, dude. I should get an award for gentlemanness. I mean,
my prom date, my senior year, junior year.
You went with a dude, right?
I might as well have because my buddy Kyle fucked my prom date.
Oh God. Party. Damn, Kyle, bro.
I mean, I knew I was going. She and I were going as friends, but still, it's like,
You got to tear up my prom date, my guy.
You took somebody to prom, bro. Tear that girl.
Damn. What happened to his? Yeah, that's a wild one.
I don't even know. I don't even know, what happened. He may have been suspended. He might have been. He might not have been allowed to go to prom. I think he got expelled. Him and my best friend Mike.
Sounds like a guy who'd fuck your prom date. That's what that sounds like.
I bet you that's what happened. I don't know. I don't remember. But
you weren't edgy enough.
Expelled the semester because they got caught filming the girls' volleyball team in a locker room with a video camera.
No way.
Yeah.
This guy was on a roll, huh?
Yeah,
Jesus. Yeah. This guy was Kyle. When I left eighth grade in South Carolina with 6 weeks to go before the end of the year, before he went to high school and all pumped up, I had a great group of buddies. I had a little girlfriend. I'm in my eighth grade, I had a good little life going on. And then I was heartbroken when I had to move. You know, I broke my little eighth grade heart. I was all in, my little puppy love. And then And then my best friend Kevin lost his virginity to her and explained to me what a blowjob feels like because my girl ex-girlfriend blew him. So
what the fuck?
That was nice, bro. That was real nice.
Maybe keep that to yourself, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Kevin ended up being a mean ass. Had a lot of problems with drug and alcohol abuse. A lot of crack problems in and out of jail.
Because he had no respect for his friends.
You know, no respect, dude. But I guess, again, you know, I remember I was... I had this draft, this teacher in high school. His name was Mr. Sheely, our draft teacher. All my buddies, they all went into the field, and I was just there to do like graphic arts and fuck off. And Mr. Sheely and I tell him, I was, you know, because in the summertime in high school, I'd go back to South Carolina the first day, goners. I'd go with my mom's boyfriend at the time. He drove a truck. He picked me up in Arizona. Wham, peace. See you guys in August, kid, you know? And I would just take off and work and stay with my buddy Joseph. And I would come back, and I remember my sophomore year, I was in, and we all had gone. We were helping with Habitat for Humanity or something, helping build a house. And he took us to lunch, and I was telling him, I'm like, I'm going back as soon as I graduate. Blah, 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 blah. He was like, it's a small town. It's going nowhere. What are you talking about? You're not going to go anywhere over there. You're not going to go back there. That's a stupid idea.
Yeah.
And he kind of pounded it in my head, and I never went back there. And it was good news because a lot of cocaine use popped off. You know, when you don't have a lot going on and you don't have a lot of, there's nothing much to do, you know, that drive can veer off to the far left, the right, away from the path, off the path, but still going just as strong and powerful.
Yeah. A lot of drug problems in those small towns.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something about boredom and meth and coke and heroin.
Yeah.
I don't know, fuck it.
I got nothing to lose. Boredom,
but. You know, maybe play a lot of rec softball instead. I don't know.
You know, maybe get into the cornhole world.
Yeah.
Get on your local Facebook page. If you got a crack problem right now, you know, if you're at the point where you're starting to break your teeth off to smoke them, don't go play cornhole with the locals. Okay. But if you're just starting to dabble with the crack, you know,
maybe take up woodworking.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. Maybe no, let's wait off on that. Let's let them sober up before they start playing with the tools. You know, you can't really fuck yourself up with some cornhole boards. Tell your mom to drop you off if you can't afford an Uber. You know, get you a nice set of used bags from somebody down at the group and just get into it. Have some beers. Stop at the crack, dude.
Take some of that stolen merchandise. Put it to work.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of pawn it off. Garages and selling the power tools. Maybe keep them. Learn how to use them. Get yourself a trade.
Yeah, maybe start blowing up stumps. Maybe start removing stumps. Get a stump remover. Remove stumps. Todd, we're going to blow up a stump, dude. I wish you had a stump at your house we need to get rid of.
Yeah, I don't know if we should dynamite here in my addition.
You know, you're right. Probably don't want to blow up your stumps in the backyard. Maybe but we can go out in the country and find us a stump.
Oh, yeah.
I think
get dynamite, we probably can find it.
Blow up a stump. Hey, guys. Also, if you're not on our YouTube, can you please go ahead and just we'll wait here. You guys go on over to YouTube and subscribe to Guns Blazing Pod.
When we get 1,000 subscribers, we're blowing up a stump.
Yeah, we'll blow up a stump at 1,000 subscribers. I don't know how we're going to blow up the stump because I don't know how to purchase dynamite. And I don't even know if it's I don't know how that works.
We're going to have to find a federally licensed person that's allowed to have it. And I don't trust myself to. It's not like Tannerite. Tannerite, we showed in the video. You can throw that shit against the wall or on the floor. Nothing happens unless a high-speed round goes through it. But dynamite can go boom just by holding it wrong. So,
you know, and plus, it has to have a long enough wick. So I want almost like a borderline Mission Impossible-style wick. Because I don't want to be anywhere near it. Like, listen, a couple of fucking cherry bombers, you know, let's go ahead.
I want the handle that you pushed down. That thing like in the Looney Tunes cartoons.
Yeah, fire the hole. Poof. That's the thing we want to do. We want to blow up some dynamite with one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
The push down box, bro. I used to always, every time I pump up a bike, I'd always pretend like I was blowing up a bike tire. Yeah, that's an old hack joke too. You know, you turn the fucking, you let the mic stand go down, you turn the mic sideways. You better laugh. I'll blow this whole place up. Oh shit, that's funny, man.
We'll get something though. Maybe we blow up a whole tree. Maybe not even just a stump. Maybe we blow up a whole tree and let it fall.
Blow up the whole damn tree, he said. That's a wild move, dude.
That might be against the law. I don't know.
Can you blow up trees? We don't know. Jared's not here right now. We're recording on an off time, so Jared's at the bar. Jared works hard during the week, and we didn't want to take away his bar time at night to listen to us dumbasses talk about absolutely nothing. Mm. Just have a good time. Maybe people listen to it.
He deserves some drinks with his boys.
Yeah.
With his lady.
Whoever. It's nice out. Yeah, it's nice out. It's starting to get nice. Wisconsin, I mean, once the sun hits, you got to get out there and enjoy it, bro. It's only sunny for like 6 days, yeah. And then it hits winter again.
It's winter. It's winter 361 days a year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do the math on that. That's almost year-round. If you do the math, it's almost year-around.
I always wanted to go there and hunt polar bear.
Yeah, hunt? Mm-hmm. I don't want to kill a polar bear.
I do.
They look too nice and cute, bro.
They're killers.
Now, the bear that killed Leonardo DiCaprio in the Rembrandt or the Revenant or whatever the fuck that movie was.
Grizzly.
That was, I'll take a shot at that guy.
Yeah.
By the way, my lady told me yesterday they found a couple of, something happened with a couple of black bears. When they opened them up, there was bodies in them, human remains in both of their bellies.
See, they're killers, man.
Murderers, bro. Absolute murderers.
There was a guy in Lexington, Kentucky. That was an undercover cop that ended up going bad and ended up starting his own drug trafficking network, the largest in the country, largest arms and drug trafficking network in our nation's history. He got caught when they found him splattered in a driveway in Georgia, some town in Georgia. Some guy's right by his mailbox. Guy goes out to get his paper. This dude splattered his driveway with this chute that didn't open. And army sea bags full of cocaine, and he was
parachuting in.
Yeah, he was running drugs for Escobar then in his plane. He was piloting himself. Something went wrong, jumped, and parachute didn't open right at the end of this guy's driveway.
But that happens to me in war zone a lot.
Yeah, he threw out a bunch of cocaine in the air. It was almost like he was being tracked by DEA or something. So he throws a bunch of cocaine out and scatters out throughout this national forest in this park, and they kept finding dead bears, OD'd from the cocaine.
Oh, you know what? If you're a bear and a couple $1 million worth of cocaine lands, you know what you're gonna do? You're gonna get a little claw bump in. You know, you're gonna claw into it. You're gonna start sniffing your shit. You're gonna get lit up, and then you're gonna have the time of your life. And then you're gonna die.
One of the bears started his own nightclub.
That's wild. I mean, and I heard about the club. Like, it was a wild club.
Yeah. He had so much coke.
He even had one of those offices up above the dance floor. You can look down through the glass, you know, and like maybe have a female bear blow you while you look down, and then you grab a pile of the cocaine and throw it at people's chests.
Do you know he was getting all the bear pussy?
Come on.
When you got all the cocaine.
When you're literally the only bear with cocaine and you have that much, and also you open up a nightclub with just without no thumbs, who ain't going to blow your bear dick?
Come on.
I'll give him a little reach around the bathroom just if you ask. You know what I mean? Just out of pure respect.
I don't know how people get hooked on drugs. I have no idea. I don't know, like, the hard drugs. Like, I know. Everybody that takes meth for the first time knows what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Everybody that does heroin for the first time knows what's going to happen. There's no good stories that begin with, so I decided to try heroin.
Yeah, and nobody ever says, like, you know, like me, I could tell you about the handful of times I've done cocaine in a funny way. You know,
cocaine's fine though. That's
nobody's ever like, dude, we got our hands on some smack last night, some fucking heroin.
Yeah,
we were shooting up all night. Shit was awesome. It just, they don't say it like that. It's the only drug people don't brag about. It's like they, you know, even cocaine. Like cocaine's been so much more commercialized, I'd say. And that people used to hide it, right? And then they used to only the people that did it knew they were doing it,
right?
But now everybody's just don't really give a fuck, and they make jokes up about it and have fun and talk about it.
Yeah, because coke's a club drug, basically. It's not as addictive It wasn't addictive enough. That's why they turned it into crack, to make it addictive.
Yeah.
And then that became a problem. Crack, meth, and heroin. If you do it for the first time, you know. You know, like I'm about, you have to be in your mind, you got to already be settled into the notion, I'm just going to fuck my entire life, right?
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and just lose my job, make all my family hate me, lose all my friends, start my face get to break out, maybe missing some teeth, stop hanging out in daylight. I'm going to foil up all my windows and then watch TV till they turn that off, because I'm not going to pay that either. I'm going to be out robbing and stealing anybody I can just to get me a next fix. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
You never hear like some astronaut doing an interview on a podcast or some show. He's like, yeah, I was like every other kid. You know, I used to do a lot of heroin back in the day. Straightened my act up, became an astronaut. You never hear those stories.
Nah. I think that you just get to a point, though, because you get real coked out of your mind and you're just running, bro, drinking whiskey and you're all gacked out and just drinking and drinking, and you stay up. And next thing you know, it's 8, 9, 10 in the morning. You pop some ecstasy, keep it moving, smoking weed, more coke. You got to go get more. And you just don't want it to end. And then you and two or three other people on a mission. And then you just, it just doesn't stop. Those are the ones I think of doing that routine for quite some time where they're just like, it's just heroin.
Oh, yeah. You can fuck your shit up. I love the guys with the coke nose where they've eaten all the fucking cartilage out of it.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a good look.
It's pretty terrible. I did bad cocaine one time and I was just like, and you could just tell your nose is like, oh, right away. It's like, what the fuck is in there? What is going on, bro? It's burning. I remember the first time I felt the drip and I was like, oh, that's what they're talking about. That's what they're talking about. Yeah, that drippity drip
tastes
skips.
Like aspirin. Everybody says it usually
a little bit. Yeah, there's a weird like medicine-ish thing going on there. Like that time when Trump fucking that little Adderall ball came flying out of his nose. It was clearly Adderall, that thick ass. Because you can't get Adderall down as fine as you can cocaine.
Yeah.
Like cocaine get it real fine. You know, that's why everybody's chopping it up and heating it up and cut it. But with Adderall, it's just more rocky. Yeah. That's the, you know, it just came fucking wink. Yeah.
And you never cut your Adderall either, right? So you're not cutting it up with baby formula or shit like that. Like
fucking
you do with
baking
coke.
Soda.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just out here rocking. I mean, I was
crushed tablets.
I'd sit there and imagine like this 80-year-old dude just in his presidential office, ready to go do a press conference, just emptying out the little pill case or crushing up a pill and just ripping a fat line of a 30-milligram fucking time release and then going, let's go talk to America. And then one of the little balls goes flying out of your nose. Like, come on. I wish somebody would have picked that up and then tested it. So we just know. Because there's no, what else could be white that flies out of your nose?
Yeah.
Like, what could it be? It sure ain't aspirin, friends.
Could have been a bone fragment.
Okay. Maybe I'll give you, I don't know. It's only cartilage up there. It's only cartilage up there.
Yeah, it's true.
It was Adderall, bro. Get it in. Sniff it up, big dog. Hey, if I'm president, I'm snorting Adderall. Let's be honest here. I'm not faulting them for it. I'm just saying, next thing you don't want to do, next time, the main thing you don't want to do is let it pop out of your nose in the middle of a fucking National West press conference.
It's got to get a little wake me up.
Yeah.
He's an old guy.
I mean, honestly, if I'm 80, I could hate on, you know, I'm down that, like with Trump, there's some things I can say, wow, that's wild he did that. And some things I could be like, hey, I'd do that, you know? And there's also things where you could be like, oh man, I would never fucking say that. What a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But, like half, you know, just smashing cheeseburgers, snorting Adderall and fucking chugging Diet Cokes while you're out here grabbing pussies. That's just a guy that just has just bought into his style. Like, this is what I do, bro. I'm out here Adderalled up, sipping Diet Coke, smashing burger, you know, Big Macs, and grabbing vaginas just at will.
Let's stop grabbing our presidents straight from reality shows, you know? We don't do that with anybody else. We're not grabbing up anybody from the real world.
It is wild. Why don't they have quality? Like, why can't there should be some sort of, like, you got to qualify, you know, like whether it's Schwarzenegger, fucking Trump, this guy Tuberville, who was just a coach, don't even know the states and shit. Like, these people you know, fucking whether even Matthew McConaughey, my possibly talking about running for Dem in Texas. They shouldn't be allowed. It should not be allowed. It's too important.
Dude, Matthew McConaughey will win hands down if he runs in Texas. Texas loves them some Matthew McConaughey. He's a Longview boy. We almost were best friends. We almost went to school together.
Yeah, you guys were almost best buddies, dude. Mm-hmm. And guess what? You're a cool motherfucker. He would have loved you, bro.
Oh, dude.
There's a strong chance you would have been in fucking Dallas Buyers Club, you know?
At minimum, I would probably be his personal manager still to this day.
Yeah.
Just to hang out and party with.
How much would it cost for you to pay? They have to pay you to be his fluffer.
I'd probably $3 million
a year.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fluffing.
It's worth it, though, I think.
$3 million a year. Even after taxes, we're looking at fucking 1.8. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you're running this out of an LLC, you know, even more than two.
You get a lot of deductions, you know, hand cream, shit like that I can write off. Carpal tunnel surgery.
Yes, bro. Massagers, the ones with the little ball at the end that are motorized, because your forearm's going to lock up. You know what I mean? You're going to get that kind of like what BT was talking about with the fucking racing forearms from so holding on so tight.
Yeah.
People are like, what's going on? Are you riding in the back of a fucking motorcycle with a professional English motorcycle man? You're like, no, I'm jacking off McConaughey for three mil a year.
Yeah. What do you
think? All right. Respect.
I'm in the big leagues now.
It's just skin, bro. Anyways, you don't go to Climax. You're just getting in prep for fucking camera.
Yeah.
So there's no fluids involved. It's just, I mean, just come on. Sure, it's Todd here.
Bulge in his pants before they hit action.
Todd is the same guy you guys have been listening to. The same guy you've been watching. Nothing's changed. It's just skin. It's Matthew McConaughey and $3
million.
Guess what else? He's in Texas. No state tax. If you're a guy right now and you're telling yourself you won't fluff off McConaughey for $3 million a year with no state taxes and no fucking happy ending,
come on.
You're a goddamn liar, and I'm borderline ready to kick you off the feet.
We just went to clearing $2 million a year now because we're in Texas.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And we're under an LLC. You know, looking at a lower tax bracket, lower tax rate.
Hey. Wow. You can bitch at me. You can make fun of me all you want on Twitter, whatever. You know, I'll own it. I'll be at McConaughey Fluffer Guy.
Yeah, change your shit up. Handle.
At McConaughey Fluffer Guy. And you know what? You fucking make fun of me all you want.
Todd McFluffus.
I'll like change every one of your tweets while I'm in my private jet running on Wi-Fi once we hit 10,000 feet.
Yeah.
Like. I'll put crying, happy, laughing face emojis on it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
And then just put on there dead on. You're like, yo, this is dead on. This is exactly perfect representation of what I got going on. But I'll be back because I got a fucking appointment at the Breitling store, you pigs. You don't even know what that is. If you don't know what the Breitling store is, this isn't for you, this story.
No.
Okay? You don't even get it. Taz makes so much money, you don't even get it.
You don't even get it.
You don't even understand where to do the shops because he's so fucking balling.
I mean, I'm like making top NFL kicker pay.
You ever wonder why they don't serve top ramen at Top Golf and fucking have fucking Top Gun playing on the goddamn TVs? I mean, are we doing the top thing? But everybody gets a free top when you walk in.
Everything should be top everything.
Yeah, I mean,
how many drinks only?
Yeah, how many dudes are getting topped off in the Top Golf bathroom? You got to ask yourself that.
What kind of tequila you got? Top shelf.
Top shelf.
That's what we got.
Top notch. All that.
Mm-hmm.
This is top notch, Top Golf, Top Guns on the TV. We all got a free top when we came in. And I mean, listen, this is, I forgot where I started with this, but I knew I had some other stuff to do with tops.
There is all kinds
top of ramen. Stuff. We were fucking eating top ramen.
Always. That's all they
top shelf there. Top ramen.
Jesus.
They threw an egg in it.
What are we talking about?
Well, you know, listen, again, it's just us running the gauntlet, letting people know there's opportunities are being absolutely missed right now.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely whiffed. Whiff city.
Whiff.
That's driving an Outback, pulling an Outback, you know, having an Outback with a trailer, dragging an Outback of an Outback. You know what I mean? Have some respect.
When you walk in, you look at a topographical map. It's the whole layout of the building there.
Yeah.
3D with all elevations included.
What else is top, dude?
Top dog.
Top dog. That's the management team. That's top notch. That's top dog. here at Top Golf. If you guys want Top Ramen, they're over there in the counter next to the fucking Tops.
What, they only the music, only music by the Tops.
Yeah, only the ZZ Tops comes in every once in a while.
We'll let them in there on Saturday.
Yeah. That's a Saturday cover band. The ZZ Top little people. Mm-hmm. The Top, and they're the Top cover band too. That's the thing people don't get. The little people ZZ Top cover band is a Top cover band.
They are the top cover band in the country.
Yeah, little ZZ Top.
They look like, I can't say that word. But anyway, you get it. Their beards reach all the way down to their feet.
Yes. Yes.
Just like the seven little people.
Shelf. Like a shelf. Like a shelf, you know, yes. But if it wasn't as slippery, you know, and they just kind of forgot the S.
Yes. Like a garden gnome. They all look yes. like
a gnomey. The homie gnomey, dude. That's what, if I had a gnome friend, I'd call him the big homie gnomey.
Oh, right.
You got to. You got to respect. These people are what they are. You know what I mean? Recognize it. Fucking, just recognize it. You got to recognize it.
Recognize. That's what it's all about. Recognition, my friend.
It's all about recognition. Todd, have a goddamn great time in New Orleans. I hope you crack this case wide open.
Fingers crossed.
Guys, go follow us on social, guys. Go follow us on social. Gonna need it.
Give us a rate and review if you get a chance. Spread the word to your friends if they're not listening. Just pick your favorite episode and be like, try this one out. See if you like them. You know?
It's that easy, bro. It's that easy.
Other than that, brother, I will be in touch from New Orleans, let you know what's going on, and I'll see you when I get back.
Later, buddy.
Love you.
Love you too, homie.